Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. You know what? You still run this country. You still run local government. You still determine the future of your community, your families. And this is what I like about this story we'll talk about here today, and I mentioned it yesterday on Open Phones. A group of landowners representing about 70% of an affected area have signed a petition, to create an actual zoning district. Now, it's got to go through a process, and it's not done yet, but a lot of work went into the first part of this process, and we're going to talk about that work and the whys behind it as well. Some wind farm proposals in eastern Montana have caused concern for some of the residents there, feeling that perhaps they're going to be left a little vulnerable because of little restrictions. Randy Arnston's joining us here. He has led this group to create the Mount Antelope Park Planning and Zoning District. And we'll talk about that. Rick Holden will join us a bit later on. Wind Energy back on the program here on Voices of Montana. And here's a voice of Montana. He's a Lindsay area landowner. And we spoke with Randy a while back as well. He had some concerns about being an adjacent non-participating landowner into the Next Era wind project. Well, there's another group that has come in as well. They're proposing to dot the landscape. I mean, and when you think about where it is in Custer and Roundup and that project, and then all through Prairie County and Dawson County and into parts of Richland and McCone. I mean, this is a lot of turbines. And the residents have a right and a responsibility to ask some questions about it and wonder, is this outcome worth this pursuit? Randy Arnston now joins us, Lindsay area landowner. He is the one who's kicked this process, this petition process into gear, filed this petition with the county courthouse, with the county, about a couple of weeks ago on May 16th. And now the county's got to go through this a little bit, the documents, and verify the signatures, even though Randy had also, notarized those signatures too. Lot of work done. We're going to talk about that process. Rick Holden will join us a bit later on. He's a Dawson County producer thinking about doing the same thing in a different area regarding the Healstone project. So good morning to Randy. How you doing, Randy?
I'm doing good today, Tom.
Thank you for being on. I know what a ton of work this was. Let's start off with how's the ranch? How's the farm doing?
It's doing good.
Good. All right.
With everything. It's been quite a challenge. But, you know, I want to stress, too, you know, this isn't just myself doing this. I guess I'm usually the upfront person, but you'd never get this done on your own. It's taken a lot of people, a lot of effort. Bill Edwards has been a lead in it. Jim and Jan Wolf helping me. Shane Eaton's been a good source. And then just all the landowners. There has been a lot of support. And so I want to stress, it's not just me on this.
That's beautiful. And that's good. That's in my mind. I mean, that's what citizen participation in government is all about. It's not just about the one, it's about that collective. And so good. Thank you. Rightly so. Bill Edwards, he was the guy, actually graduated with Bill, who sent me a message about, hey, this is going on. And so we started talking about this way back in November. And in the meantime, there was this code in our law that allowed the creation of this citizen planning and zoning district, and you went to work on that. And so thank you for that. I mean, it's a 200-page petition, a lot of work. I want to talk about that too. I'm talking to 90 landowners or more that have signed up for this, 70% of the 60% needed. So you got a margin there. Talk about, you know, what their concerns are, Randy. What are they talking to you about? I know Next Era Energy and also Healstone, they'll come in, and after a certain time, and maybe it's not early enough, But after a certain time, they'll start doing public hearings on this. And what were the landowners' concerns? Do they just not want the wind energy? Do they want some restrictions on it?
You know, I'd have to say overall, when we would have a meeting, the majority of the people just would want to not have it at all. Just make it, you know, not capable of doing that, you know, put a wind tower in anywhere. But there's been some people that do have leases. And so we threw that out there. And so, you know, I want to say in these regulations, we're not stopping a wind farm. It just has to be, you know, with this under the regulations that we set up. You know, there might not be the easiest, but it's come to a consensus of that's what we're comfortable with. And so we went forward with that. You know, we're pretty much pushed this way. We tried with the county commissioners at first, and then we went this direction. Eventually the county commissioners, you know, took it to the county zoning board or planning board. But, you know, the people still wanted to do it this direction so that we have our say. We're not under somebody else because we have no idea what they could come up with. So we come up with our setbacks. Limit the height of, you know, towers that goes in. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, also it wasn't looking for them. There was a lot of concern about the future generation, their kids out there, because these are long. I mean, it's 30-year contracts that, you know, you're looking at. Mm-hmm. And they have people, you know, there's a lot of different things, you know, wildlife, just a lot of safety issues. And, you know, what happens if they back out and then all of these turbines are sitting there? You know, the county already has one waste disposal site in the county, and I think that give a bad idea to people too, you know, because right now, unless you start in, it's the Wild West for all this industrial development. And back when this started, I was telling people, because I did a lot of studying on it, that this isn't the end. I mean, just this, there's going to be more coming. And so in the meantime, since between then and now, there's already another company that's trying to lease up land for another wind farm, that which would be just on the outskirts of Glendive. And that, I think that's got between 70 and 80 turbines. And, you know, and then NextEra, they're also, now they're going to be putting in solar at the previous, you know, wind site they did. So, I mean, where's the end? We got to get ahead of this. Oil and gas has been around for so long. They have stuff to regulate that, but you know, this other stuff comes in. There's no laws out there right now for them, really.
Yeah, and I think that's an issue that counties should be dealing with. I know, as we've covered this, Weibo County, there's proposals there. They got ahead of it a little bit, but it wasn't without conflict. I've spoken with some county commissioners from, the entire area as well. There's a lot of pressure on them because there's jobs. There is taxpayer money. How much has maybe been maybe not exactly known, or I don't know what the right word for it is, but or proved out, at least in the earlier part of it. But I understand those pressures as well. Randy Arnston again with us. Randy, I want to also have you tell your story more about the work that went into this, because I read this document. Now, I'll credit the Ranger Review article that came out last week. I think it was in their Thursday or Friday paper on it, and you know, it talks about that process to a certain degree. But as you and I chatted, it was a huge undertaking, right? So tell us more about it. Yeah,
it was. You know, when we got shut down by the commissioners upon, you know, taking anything on, and this was our option, I had no idea which way it would go, you know, talked to, you know, a few people. And so then we, you know, had a meeting, and there was a lot of landowners showed up, and, you know, we would have meetings down in Lindsay. And that's where, you know, we, you know, considered, you know, going forward with this. It was going to take a lot of money. and then delegated out. You know, Bill Edwards kind of put the map to him. So, you know, you got to start out, you know, okay, what are we going to draw our district at? And basically that's where you start. Start with a map, and then you start getting people talking to, and yes, I want in it. I want in it. That got to the point to where finally we just had to cut it off because, I mean, there's still people. I had a guy just approached me the other day that's close to it, and he wants in it. The interest is out there. So you start with the map, you know, get that, you know, start compiling, you know, we spent a lot of time, you know, in cadastro, you know, because it's not as, you know, you don't just see these sections of land out there. You got a lot of out-of-state people, a lot of people you've never heard of, and you start compiling the information. And once we kind of got the area, that information compiled, and okay, this is our plan. And then we took it to a title company because we wanted to verify all the landowners. That was the next step there. When that took a long time to get that back for them going through it. And then that set us back, and I was kind of afraid it happened because then that puts it into the busy season. And, you know, everybody's out seeding at the time that we got that back. So, you know, it took a lot of phone calls, you know, finding out phone numbers to people and, hey, could you get a hold of somebody? And, you know, it was the out of town people, and getting the numbers was a challenge. And then when we had our regulations or, you know, and the petitions that they had to sign, every signature is notarized. And we had a couple group signings to where we had a notary. People would come in and go over it. And then, you know, so that we could notarize the bulk of the signatures was done that way. And once that's done, you know, which, I mean, it all takes, you know, quite a lot of time. And then you take it in and, you know, you want to make sure you got the 60%. And then, you know, take it in and file it at the courthouse. And now they're going through the same procedure of verifying on the landowners. They have to do that on their end. And then we're waiting right now to get, you know, that back. And then it starts moving forward to the zoning committee in the county.
And this is an interesting aspect of this as well, because it's citizens initiated, but you don't get to sign off yourself on your own document. I mean, that's the county commission, I think, that has that authority. And we cede, as the public, we cede that authority to our county commission. You know, there's lots to talk about here. Talking about wind energy here, and some landowners in eastern Montana have created the Citizens Planning and Zoning District as allowed by law, and a long process there. But there are some restrictions that will definitely affect wind energy development in eastern Montana. A lot of these citizens have felt that, as Randy Arnston, our guest, along with Rick Holden now joining us, felt that, as Randy had said, a wild west for industrial development, not maybe enough kinds of restrictions, or the planning and growth documents were not really up to speed to be able to even add those additions. So caught behind the eight ball a little bit as these wind energy projects move forward. So, Randy, again, good morning. Thank you for being here. Let's welcome Rick Holden, a Dawson County producer as well as a former state senator. Chatted with him a little while ago, and this was right kind of before, Randy, you filed the papers on this. And that was probably a moment for you. By the way, good morning, Rick. How you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing good. Calling from the ranch in Dawson County.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I spoke with Bob Phelan. He's the senator for that region. Brought some bills. We'll talk about that a bit later on. This was yesterday. He's farming and ranching today as well, and couldn't make the call. He was traveling, and I know Randy's got, everybody's got lots of work to do this time of year. That's why I'm so impressed, Randy and Rick, that you got this done at this time. Randy, what'd that feel like when you finally filed that document? Late Friday or whenever it was, at the clerk and recorder's office. Do you remember that feeling?
Yeah. You know, it was it was a relief, you know, got it done, you know, because going through all that land and, you know, because within it, you know, got it back, there's 555 parcels that came back with our district, you know, and 120 votes total, you know, yes or no votes, but that's how many it involved. But then you just, you know, you wonder what's next, because then it got through me that now it's kind of out of my hands to, you know, it's been a fight all along. You know, NextEra, they've got endless amounts of money, and I mean, it's not like us farmers and ranchers can go up the legislature and, you know, throw money around. We're behind the eight ball on all of it, and this is our hope that we can get it done. And so now the worry is what's next. It's getting out of our hands and that.
Yeah. And let's talk a little bit about what's in this document. I'm going to go and hear from Rick Holden. Rick, I imagine as a former state senator and state legislator, you probably know your way around a little bit anyway about what a planning and zoning document looks like. Let's talk about the structure limit here, right? Go into that because that's key.
All right. So what the main thing is what needs to be pointed out is that when this document was constructed, we hired attorneys to help with that. So it wasn't just all of us writing on it and trying to guess what was going to be in the document. We actually had experienced attorneys that deal with wind energy and these tall structures. What's really good is that when it was all said and done, the neighbors up in that area had a supermajority of them. That's like over 66% would be a supermajority, and they had over 70% that wanted to limit the height of these structures. And that's just what this document does. It limits the heights of structures in this citizen-initiated zone to 199 feet. But the nice thing about it is it recognizes the historical value of agriculture in their district, which has a 145-year history. So there's an agricultural exemption built into the document so that agriculture, which has the historical use of that land, can continue doing what they're doing into the future, as well as protect the viewshed of the surrounding properties.
Height is key. 199 feet would require a permit. According to the petition, anything outright over that size would be prohibited. Talk about, Rick, how that impacts these wind energy companies. And I don't imagine there was a ton of discussion about this with NextEra because they didn't discuss with you guys their plans before, you know, they went to the courthouse and started getting contracts. Go ahead. Yeah.
That's what people need to know is they work secretively behind the scenes trying to get these leases constructed and signed. And what we found is they're telling the neighbors that you might as well sign because your neighbor over there already did. So you're not going to get a benefit from having any kind of a wind turbine in the area. You're just going to have the impact. So you might just as well sign. And we found out once we started calling around, no, people did not want these 600-foot structures right up against their property lines and hovering over their houses. And no, it wasn't a fact that these people, everybody was signing. The fact was that there was a lot of people over a supermajority, over 70%, did not want them in the area. And so that was what really came out of this process, is that we were able to band together and say, no, we want this property. And the Big Sky Country left the way it was when we came, and we want to leave it for our children going forward. And that's what we really found out of this whole process, is just what kind of a backyard deal they were working against us.
Randy, give us an idea of the proximity of your property. As we chatted last time, you're an adjacent non-participating landowner. Give us an idea of those immediate concerns that you had.
Well, my immediate concern was just what, you know, lit me up was when a field right next to me has got a test tower in it. So right there, that, you know, that's when I got start studying this stuff and finding out how close it can come. And that's where, you know, I found out, well, there's no limit. It can go right up to my property line. And that's where I got going with it. A map come out. But, you know, there's nothing in this that, you know, a wind company comes in that they have to really give the county any true documents or what their true plan is. You know, because they were stressing at the meetings there was only going to be 30-some towers in Dawson County. Well, yeah, they gave a map, you know, proposal there, but, you know, finally the commissioners realized, well, why are they leasing land on the other side of the highway? You know, there's nothing. There's, you know, they talk taxes and, you know, well, how are you figuring the taxes? Because, you know, there's no true statement coming out of them about what the true plan of this is. They can do whatever they want. And that's, you know, a lot of people on that other wind farm, they found out that, yeah, they'll tell you that, you know, you got some say in where they put these. And they found out that, no, you don't. When they come in, they put them where they want, plus roads and, you know, transmission line. You know, the people that did sign, signed away a lot of their property rights and not realizing it. A lot of people took these leases to an attorney and looked at, and that was really disappointing talking to people on that. I'm not saying that lawyers gave bad advice, but they really didn't give enough advice. They didn't look into it and really tell the people what they are signing away.
Your follow up on that, Rick.
Well, I think the other important thing is the wind companies surely weren't going to tell these landowners that their fiberglass blades begin to deteriorate after the fifth year, and they start to spread shards, strands, and flakes all over their property and all over their neighbor's property. And those fiberglass blades are made of poisonous chemicals. They're PFAS chemicals. They're forever chemicals. That means once those blades start to deteriorate and that garbage starts to fly around your property, it gets into your soil, it gets into your water, it gets into the water system going downstream from your property to your neighbor's property. It contaminates your soil in such a way that you cannot harvest your grain crops, your corn crops, anything like that. You cannot, with this fiberglass fibers that fly around, you cannot bale your hay. Your hay is now contaminated. And we just found out over in Edgeley, North Dakota, that a fellow over there by the name of Doug Hines called me up. He had a blade that broke, and it spread fiberglass shreds all over, and he has not been able to bring his cattle back into his pasture for 6 months because the wind company doesn't have the staff to get out there and clean it up. We don't even know how they're going to clean it up because some of these flakes are the size of a quarter. So how do you go out and pick up all these poisonous chemicals all over your land and your neighbor's land when they're the size of a quarter or maybe even a penny? So these landowners absolutely were not told of how their land was going to be contaminated by the use of these poisonous chemicals in these fiberglass blades. And we've really pointed that out and tried to make the people in Glendive recognize and know that that's what's going to be flying over the city.
Tom Schultz alongside here. We are talking about wind energy. It is a sustainable source of power. It's clean, but there are certain risks about it as well. A lot of people feel generally less severe than those of fossil fuel energy. But wildlife impacts, environmental risks, land use concerns, noise pollution is another one, visual impact, but also noise pollution, low frequency noise. I'm not sure that there's a ton of, you know, good research about how much noise pollution can affect our public, you know, dizziness, sleep disturbances for some. You've got the shadow flicker, which is another concern. Talking about shedding, you get that with ice throw. Some can be up to 1,500 feet or so, and other social concerns. Now, energy companies, again, there's a lot of push for energy, and we need more energy, and we want it to be more sustainable energy as well. But are there restrictions that are necessary? Are there other things that we can do? The setback distances, some heated blades, lights and things like that. These companies are willing to mitigate these things in a lot of ways, too. We're back with Randy Arnston. He's a landowner in the Lindsay area, east of Glendive. It's west of Glendive. Rick Holden, Dawson County producer, former state senator. And now also Dennis Teske joins us. So he is a Prairie County commissioner, and we'll say good morning to Commissioner Teske. Good morning, Dennis. Wait a minute. Hang one second. And got you on. How you doing, Dennis?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
I appreciate you calling in. I know it's a concern for you guys. What's your take on it from your seat in Prairie County?
Well, I couldn't agree more with your guests that are on today. The discovery of this wind project over the last year and a half, 2 years, is as we get kind of a damp handshake from a wind project people. I hate to call them wind farms because they're not wind farms. They don't farm anything. Things that are troubling to me, and the setbacks, the view we're going to lose, but the disturbance to non-participating in the lease, they say there's a good neighbor agreement. That isn't a good neighbor agreement when you read it. It's written by a lawyer, and it goes for the company. And at our legislature, one thing I've been pushing the wind companies to do is go talk to people non-participating, go out into the field, find the concerns, let's fix them. They don't do that. What they do is go to the legislature, throw money around. It's going to be the best thing since sliced bread. They come to our county and tell you about the dollars and want you to get sold on those, and a lot of that's fabricated, which is concerning. Put it in writing. Nobody wants to do that. But it gets deeper than that. We're looking for, like Colstrip, very secure source of energy for the last 50 years at a very reasonable price. Now that we've gone with solar and wind, I bet everybody listening on the phone today can say their utility bills have gone through the roof, and they continue. MDU, local company, they're big on wind. They keep asking for more money from the PSC. We see that. I'm a guy that's older. I'm on Medicare, and I'm on Plan D. My Plan D went up 130% because of subsidies given to $150 billion companies. My Medicare deductible went up because we give subsidies to solar. What happens in this project, they wave money in front of our face, and it's our money that they're waving, and they're making a profit. And they do that through their tax credits, their subsidies. They come to our county, we're going to give you the best deal in the world, but we want an abatement on taxes. So you want the guy, the rancher, the farmer that barely scrapes a living out of this land, you want him to pay your taxes. That's what they do. They come in here from Florida or wherever they're from and lay that at the door of our tax-paying citizens. Those things get quite disturbing to me as a county commissioner. They're not green. They're not user-friendly. We get scamma of sustainability. You know, folks moved out here in the homestead days, and people are still here. They're sustainable on this land, and we found a way. We're a marginal county with not a big tax base. Half of our county is either federal land or state land. Mm-hmm. The rest of it's private citizens paying. So the hardships continue. So when a big company comes in and waves dollars underneath your nose, of course, you look at it very hard, yeah. But also I've been to the circus too, and the boys are selling you something to get you to spend your money, to get you to buy a dream, and the dream sometimes is not there. Anyway, that's my two cents on the deal.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, because you're in that seat that makes decisions about it as well. That's Commissioner Dennis Teske from Prairie County. I want to go back and stand by, Dennis. I appreciate you calling in, too. Randy Arnston is with us. I'm going to go back to Rick Holden. Rick, before the break, and I don't want to malign energy and energy companies. I think that they're doing things... I suppose with the tools that they have in front of them. at this time. And there's a lot of things that can be negotiated, too, in a lot of ways. We do need more energy in this country. But evaluating those risks and evaluating them with full data and full knowledge is very important. I want to go back to where you were talking about a potential pollution from the fiber shards that are part of these blades. I have not seen in the research that I've looked at, there's still a lot of nobody's really said this happens because of this. Go ahead.
Look, you're looking at old data, and actually the Environmental Protection Agency just came out in April of last year, just barely a year ago, and they declared that the fiberglass chemicals, the shards, the flakes, all of that that's coming off those deteriorating fiberglass blades are hazardous waste. So the EPA has gone ahead now and said, yes, those are hazardous waste chemicals. We know they are forever chemicals, and so you just connect the dots. You got forever chemicals flying in through the air and landing on your property, and then you got photo documentation. In our case, we've had producers actually send us photos of their property and showing these fiberglass shards and strands and stuff that are blowing across their property. So we have photo documentation that it actually exists. You can also go on YouTube, and before they have a chance to shut those down, farmers are taking their phones out of their pocket, and they're walking around their fields, and they're showing everybody, and they're posting this stuff. And so they're actually using social media to show everybody where these fiberglass shards and flakes and stuff are going. And so there you have it. They don't want to tell you that that happened. They try and tell you that they have a very rigorous maintenance program that will prevent this from occurring, but actually it does occur. And that's just something you have to know about it going in.
Do you know how often it occurs?
Well, yeah. As soon as the sun deteriorates fiberglass, there's no getting away from that. So like I said before, you're looking at a 3-year to 5-year deterioration. Once that occurs, they start to fall apart. So you can go on the internet, you can look at the photos of how they start to delaminate on the leading edge of the blade. And people ought to know across Montana that every tower that you are looking at is a baby tower. The next generation is here for next spring.
Right.
We're looking at towers that each one will be the size of the Seattle Space Needle. It'll be right at 600 feet, just short of 600 feet. And that's the generation that's here. The next generation is already on its way. These leases that these people are signing do not limit the height of these towers. And so the next generation is your 6-7 megawatt generation, and each one of those towers will be the size of the Eiffel Tower. That's what Montana has to look forward to.
We got to spend a little bit of time here talking about the legislature and how they attempted to address this or not. But I'm up against a break, so this is a good time to do that because I want to talk. I spoke with State Senator Bob Phelan yesterday, brought some bills regarding the bonding, brought some bills regarding the turbine height limits, and they didn't fare very well in the legislature, but first-time bills don't always do that. Closing out here on this discussion of wind energy and the Citizens Initiative zoning district, which was, formed and yet still has to be verified and then approved by Dawson County Commission. Randy Arnston, the leader, but a lot of people are thanking that. He's with us. Rick Holden as well, former state senator, Dawson County producer. And Prairie County Commissioner Dennis Teske also called in. And Commissioner Teske, thank you for that, for being involved in this. I'm going to run into some time constraints here. But Dennis, as we were chatting off air, you had a point about how long these leases are.
Yes, I have a copy of the lease from a landowner, and that lease begins with, it talks about 37-year lease. But also inside that lease, it's not optional to the landowner, but what it is, optional to the wind company. And they have two 10-year options on this. So those leases are actually for 57 years. And what can happen, that company takes over more control each year of an aging group of people. And what's troubling is, what do they do to the land? will it be sustainable after they leave it? Will the rancher farmer have to leave because of the items, the sheds that have been talked about? And then what happens to this land? What happens to these counties? What happens to these people?
And that's
those
a good
things need to be looked at.
Great question. And Rick, I know that you helped write some of this legislation that didn't referenced it earlier. Yeah. Some bonding. You know, talk about the mood in the legislature for understanding this issue and maybe doing something about it.
Yeah, so we basically had three to four things we wanted to address legislatively. One, we wanted to address the height. We wanted to limit that at 350 feet. The tallest building in Montana is the First Interstate Bank at 272 feet. So it would still have been, the structure still would have been larger than even the largest building in Montana. The lights just drive people nuts. These red lights all night, these strobe lights during the early hours of the day, we wanted those to go off except for when a plane would fly over and they might need them for safety reasons. And then bonding. Currently, these wind turbine companies do not have to bond until year 15. While some of them promise they'll bond earlier, there's no guarantee that they will, and there's no legislation that says that they have to. So if a company goes broke before year 15, the benefactors of that project are on the hook. That means the landowner received money for it, the company that built them, and the county. So you have three entities there that can be sued to have these things decommissioned and removed just because we have not an existing bonding package in place. And then the setbacks. There are no setbacks in Montana. These turbines can be placed right along your school grounds, right along your state parks, right along your swimming pool. They don't even have to be outside the city limits at all. So we have nothing in Montana that controls where these things can be put. They can be put right over your backyard.
Add to that, I mean, I know the companies will come in and have some voluntary setbacks and be willing. I mean, there's some mitigation that they're willing to do. And I should say, I've reached out a couple of times, and they said they
are willing to come on, but they haven't yet.
So,
okay, you're wrong on that. It's not voluntary. Let me reiterate. They only move them when the county commissioners insist. If the county commissioners do not insist that they have these setbacks in place, there is nothing saying they have to.
Right.
And they don't absolutely voluntarily do that. They don't voluntarily do anything. If you're a county commissioner and you're voluntarily giving them a tax abatement for a number of years, I don't know why you're doing that, because we're not doing that here in Dawson County and Perry County, and they won't go away. So you don't have to do that either. And I think the people should know that they're getting duped every time these companies get them to promise to get the commissioners to promise not to tax them from the very beginning when they start production. But the attitude of the legislature was very cold. When we came up there with this legislation, we tried to emphasize that they were the legislature that was going to have to do something about this stuff, because it all starts spring, and we couldn't get that Senate Energy Committee to even look at the legislation and try and even amend it something that could be used.
That was disappointing, and I know the work will continue. I've only got about 30 seconds left. I wanted to give final thoughts to Randy Arnston as well. Randy, and thank you for all you guys for coming on today.
I'd like to first off just thank everybody in my group for all the effort, all the help and everything. It was a group effort. It took everybody. You know, my final thought of it is, you know, the citizens back there, especially where this is going, Dawson, Prairie, Macomb County, you know, get involved. Think about the future generations. Teske said how long this is. It's going to affect your kids, grandkids, and you have to get in and push these county commissioners. First, you know, they're looking at the money side. You have to let them know who they're working for.
Randy Arnston, Rick Holden, Dennis Teske, thank you all. You guys have a great weekend.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.